All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for once again allowing us the privilege to be gathered here tonight as your people. Dear Lord, we thank you for the way in which you're working in lives and in hearts, drawing us to yourself. We thank you for your word and how it works in our hearts to accomplish your will and purpose. Dear Lord, we come before you recognizing our failures and our faults and asking that you'll cleanse us of sin and anything that would hinder your working in our hearts tonight, that will be far removed from us. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in a special way as you've done so many times before. I pray that you will give me the words you'll have me to say. May they be a source of strength, challenge, inspiration to anyone and each one under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. And may in everything that's done, you be honored and glorified in a special way. We thank you once again for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A little over a year or two ago, my family and I, we took a vacation in Antigua. And while we were there, we decided to embark on a little bit of an adventure and to go into one of those sailboats, which function like a little catamaran. It's a little water sport activity. And this is something that we had never done before. We had never done something like this, especially as a family. And what made this little adventure unique was that we had to be the ones, or I had to be the one, controlling and navigating this sailboat. And so you are in this somewhat of a bay area. You, of course, are being supervised. You're being monitored, so to speak. And so we decided to do it after a little bit of instructions and coaching from the hotel staff. And so we got onto the catamaran, and all four of us were seated. It just was able to seat four. And for a few minutes or so, maybe a minute or so, the boat was not moving, even though the wind was blowing. And the reason was because I had not maneuvered the sail so that it would really catch the wind. And so after I got the hang of what I should be doing, I was able to maneuver the sail so that it could really get the boat moving, and the boat took off. And as it took off, I guess the wind gust really got it, and it began really moving, and then my family got scared and got terrified, and all of them started screaming, and they got me a little nervous as well. But at the end of it all was well that ended well, and because I really understood what was happening and figured out how to really maneuver this sailboat so that it would go in a direction that I wanted it to go. As I think of what it took to be able to sail that boat, I kind of see a similarity and an illustration here that can be likened to finding, experiencing, and knowing God's will for one's life. I began this series last Wednesday entitled Knowing and Experiencing God's Will. If you're a Christian for any length of time, I trust that it is your desire to be right in the center of God's will. Amen? As a matter of fact, that should be your desire from the very time you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But if you've been saved for any length of time and you've heard this term, you would realize that it often requires multiple aspects and paying attention and being discerning in really knowing exactly what God would have you to do in a variety of different situations. Just like on that sailboat, there's some things that I had to do individually in order to be able to direct and to maneuver that boat. But the one thing that I could not control was the wind. I could not control the wind direction. But I could pay attention to the direction in which the wind was blowing and maneuver that sail so that it would be in a position so that the boat can actually move on the water. You see, when it comes to knowing and experiencing God's will for your life, there's some things that are within your control, and there's some things that are not in your control. But all of these things must go together and work together in order for you to experience the destiny that God has for your life. I say this, and I don't think I could underscore this enough and emphasize it enough, that it is so important as children of God that we are living in the center of God's will. Amen? Helps us to avoid the wrecks, the pitfalls, the traps of life. Mentioned this last week, that God's will is not a thing. It is a place. It is a place that you live from day to day as you're obedient to Him, as you listen to His word, as you are guided by understanding who He is and His character. You see, in and of ourselves, we simply cannot know the way. But we want to be able to look tonight, beginning tonight, at a number of different aspects, as I promised last week, in how can we actually know? How can we have the assurance? Is it a eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Catch a tiger by the toe? Is it just randomly just picking any whatever feels right? I would submit to you that there are a number of areas that we can identify, we can address, we can look at in being able to discern accurately God's will for our lives. And tonight I want us to look at the first one, as we had by way of introduction last week to this series, and we'll go on for a number of weeks as we'll take one aspect each and every week. And tonight I want us to look at something that is foundational. I believe it's the first step to experiencing the wonder, the amazement, the beauty of being in God's will, and it is passion. Passion. By passion, I simply mean the desire to be in God's will. You see, so many people they fail to have even a desire, a willingness to experience it, and so from the very beginning, there's no hope for them to live in God's will. On August 7th, 1994, a 5,200 horsepower locomotive pulled 24 cars from Chicago to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and back. And on board were the train were 846 passengers. The passengers weren't in a hurry to reach their destination, though, because the interest was not in travel per se, but in the train itself. Most members of the members were National Historical Railway Society. Powering this train was a Class J number 11 steam locomotive. Steam locomotives may sound very old-fashioned, but they're very powerful. You see, in fact, some of the old steam locomotives were more powerful than three modern diesel locomotives put together. The heart of their power, of course, is steam. Now, you may think that you see steam whistling above your tea kettle or on your bathroom mirror, but that is not exactly steam. Steam is the clear vapor between the hot water and the visible mist. As it forms at 212 degrees Fahrenheit or 100 degrees Celsius, it expands to take up much more space than its liquid state. This explosive expansion, harnessed in a giant locomotive, is what powered 250-ton engines pulling 20 or more rail cars through the Blue Ridge Mountains and across the Great Plains and over the deserts of the West. Steam is a powerful force. But I use this illustration of steam because just as steam gives power to a locomotive, so zeal or passion gives power to a believer. Listen, if you are a believer and you can recognize the ignition of passion in your life, you would see great things accomplished. Amen? Amen. And so the more we boil with zeal for Christ, the more we have for his service, the more we will be likely to experience the fullness of his will for our lives. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, we see the example of someone in the Bible who had a passion for God's will. A passion. The Bible says here, speaks of Jabez, and we've seen and read many books about Jabez and many messages. But his story here in just two verses is very appropriate to being able to illustrate what passion can do in helping an individual to experience God's will for their life. And so we want to look at his example tonight as we look at this message tonight that I've entitled The Fuel of Passion. The fuel of passion. If you want God's will for your life, if you want to see it accomplished, realized, to live in it each and every day in this beautiful place, you must first have a passion for it. And so we're going to look at Jabez's example here tonight as we see his passion for the will of God. The first thing I want you to notice about Jabez here tonight is that he accepted his deficiencies. He accepted his deficiencies. The Bible says in verse number 1, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, here you have this child born to his mother, and his name itself means suffering. Now, you may question, why would a mother call her son suffering? Why would she call him Jabez? Now, it could be that she was using it in a positive way. It could be that she wanted to have a reminder of God's goodness. It could be that she wanted to be able to be reminded that in my time of greatest pain and anguish and suffering, that God delivered me. But I'm sure Jabez probably would have had other ideas growing up. Can you imagine going to school? Hey, suffering! Can you come over here? That doesn't sound too appealing, does it? But Jabez did not let this deficiency. He did not let this situation of his name being associated with suffering keep him down. I was just talking to someone today, and the individual was making a statement, and I agreed with him, that oftentimes we look at difficulty and we look at pain as primarily negative. We look at suffering as something that we wish we can do without. But do you know that you can take your pain and be a blessing to somebody else? Because one of the things that is a common denominator for all of us on planet Earth At some point, we will experience pain. It is an inevitable aspect of living. And so if an individual, hypothetically, can accept their pain, whether it be pain from their past, whether it be pain from a current situation, and somehow tap into God's will, God's blessings on their lives, and turn that into a positive, then that individual has an audience that is pretty much innumerable. Because by experiencing and harnessing one's deficiencies, one's limitation, and recognizing that God has worked in my life for benefit, then I can help somebody else, and that person would be glad that your burden turned out to be a blessing. Amen? Jabez here accepted his deficiencies. You say, Pastor, how do you know that he accepted his deficiencies? Well, I certainly see that in this passage because in the second place, he achieved distinction. He did not stay there. Even though his name might have been associated with suffering, the Bible says at the beginning of verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He did not let his difficulties keep him down. He did not let this name that was assigned to him that meant something really totally probably negative keep him there. He was more honorable. It tells me that he accomplished something of distinction. He was honorable in some way, shape, or form. He excelled. He excelled more than his brethren. He achieved distinction. But here's what I love about Jabez, and the Bible recounts this, that even though he was more honorable, and the Bible says this at the very beginning of this verse, he did not let his advancement cause him to not desire God's will for his life. It was not the source of his fulfillment. You see, so many people, they achieve worldly success. They achieve advancement. They achieve great things in this life. And they rest on their accomplishments and figure, I don't need God. After all, I am Dr. So-and-so. After all, I have many degrees after my name. I have achieved financial stability and financial security. And they determine that I no longer need God. Jabez was not like this. You see, Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable than his brethren. He achieved distinction. But notice, thirdly, and so importantly, he still had an ardent desire. He still had a desire for God to be fulfilled, will to be fulfilled in his life. He says in verse number 10, he says, and God, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Amen. He the words here and the language here indicates that Jabez did not just pray this casual, nonchalant prayer, oh God, I want your will for my life. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He says, I have a craving. I have a longing. I have a passion, a zeal to see your will accomplished in my life. I submit to all of us here tonight that if you want God's will for your life, the first step is to want it. Now that sounds pretty redundant. Huh? But if God's will is going to be accomplished, you have to want it. We've heard time and time again this saying, you can take a horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink. And so in finding God's will for your life, in knowing God's will for your life, in experiencing and living in that special place, the pastor can preach from now until whenever. Your parents can plead and beg and go on their knees. And at the end of the day, you as an individual, whether man, woman, boy or girl, you must make up in your own mind and have it lodged in your heart that I want what God has for me. Amen? Jabez had a passionate desire, an ardent desire. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He had a longing. But I want you to notice, fourthly, Jabez, in desiring God's will for his life, appealed to the divine. Now, this may seem natural, but oftentimes what should be common is not so common. Because here we are talking about God's will for one's life. Well, it would make sense that since it is God's will, that we ask who? God. Amen? Many people claim that I want God's will for my life, but they ask everybody else except God. The Bible says here, Jabez called on the God of Israel. Amen? He recognized that I have this passionate desire, this earnest longing to be able to see God's will in my life. Well, if I want God to bless me, I want God to sanction what I'm doing, I want him to direct me into his will, then only he can make it happen. And so the Bible says he called on the God of Israel. He didn't call on his doctor. He didn't call on a psychologist. He didn't even call on his parents. He didn't call on his mentor. He didn't call on the president. He didn't call on the prime minister. He says, God, I'm going to appeal to you. After all, it's your will that I want. Now, he makes three requests of God in this appeal. The first thing he does here, he asks God to enlarge his domain. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Now, here's what Jabez is saying. Jabez is saying, God, I want you to give me greater opportunity. I want you to increase my impact. Give me an opportunity to enlarge my territory, my purview. I want to be able to, right now I may have the opportunity to impact and to reach the lives of 10 people. Lord, make it 100. Make it 1,000. Enlarge my coast. That might seem like a selfish request, but when one is praying for God's will, that's not selfish at all. Why? Because we ought to want our lives to impact as many people for God's, for the kingdom building sake. Amen? Jabez says, enlarge my coast. You see, as a church, we may live in a small island, but we should want God to help us to have a worldwide impact. Amen? Let me say that again. We may be a small church in a small island, but we should want God to help us to make a worldwide impact. We should want to be able to impact the entire Caribbean, the entire North America, South America, Europe, Australia. We should want to impact this entire world. God, enlarge our coast. Jabez says, bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. I want to have a big impact. But notice, the second thing he appealed to God to do is to be engaged in his doings. He says, and that thine hand might be with me. Now you see, many people pray the first part of this prayer. And many people say, God, enlarge my coast. Man, I want to be able to touch many people's lives. As a matter of fact, that's going to increase my stature, my fame. As a matter of fact, even my financial wherewithal would be enhanced when I can touch many more people's lives. After all, man, I get a chance to be famous. But many people don't pray the second part that says, God, I want you to be engaged in what I'm doing. Now, many people look at this verse and says, that thine hand might be with me. After all, yes, I want God's protection. I want his presence. I want him to be with me. After all, if God is with me, man, I can be assured his protection and that everything will go right because with Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. But God's hand here being with Jabez involved more than just his protection and even his provision. It also involved his direction. Jabez was saying, God, I want your hand to be with me. When your hand is with me, man, you can guide me. You can direct me. You can actually tell me and instruct me what to do. You can rebuke me. You can correct me when I'm not going the right way. Your hand is with me. Oftentimes, sadly, we treat God as a 911 emergency call. God, I'm in a bind right now. Can you help me? And after God helps us, we say, God, okay, I'll catch you again until I get into another problem. God, Jabez says, God, I want you to that your hand be with me. I'm not asking you to bless me with something and then you leave me or I leave you. I want you to be with me. God, I don't want to treat you as a standby love. How many of us are annoyed when people demonstrate time and time again that they only need us or want us when they need something? Not too appealing, right? God says, I'm willing to bless you. Jabez says, I want your blessing, God, but I want more than your blessing. I want you to be with me. I want your hand to guide me, to protect me, to even discipline me when needed. I want you to be engaged in my doings. He says, God, I want you to enlarge my domain. But the third thing he asks you is that God would ensure his deliverance. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. He says, God, I want you to keep me from sin. He says, God, I'm asking for your will, and I understand that sin is not in your nature. Do you know that when we pray to God, we ought to even be mindful and conscious that God would help us to pray the right prayers? That we would pray the prayers that are in accordance with his will. That we would pray the prayers that help keep us from evil. Jabez was saying, God, I know that living a holy life is consistent with your nature. Keep me from evil people. Keep me from evil practices. Keep me from evil philosophies. Help me to think right. Have the right thoughts. And in having the right thoughts, I will have the right actions. I'll have the right attitudes. Keep me from evil. He made an appeal to the divine. But notice, number five. He said, why was Jabez able to make a prayer that was so consistent with what God would expect and what God would desire? Number five, he was aware of the dangers. Look at what he says after he makes this appeal. He says, God, here is why I'm asking for you to enlarge my domain, to be engaged in my doings, to ensure my deliverance, because I'm aware of the dangers. He says, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez says, God, I'm aware that if I live a life of sin, if I live a life that's displeasing to you, it will cripple me in fulfilling your purpose for my life. Jabez understood that sin brings pain. Sin brings disappointment. Sin brings hurt. And he says, God, keep me from evil because I don't want to be grieved as a result of living outside of your will. I say to all of us here tonight, living in God's will is a safe place to be. Amen. For the life of me, I don't know how people make it every day, making decisions without knowing that God is directing my steps. I mean, it's a jungle out there. It is a chaotic world. I mean, it is a place that is littered with pitfalls and cliffs and traps. How do we navigate it? By recognizing that God Himself is aware of every pitfall, every trap, everything, and He is able to navigate us right around those things when we are living in His will. Jabez says, I'm aware of the dangers. And because He made such a passionate, unselfish prayer to Almighty God, pleading for His will to be done, God's will to be done, in his life, he achieved his destiny. Verse number 10, the latter part says, and God granted him that which he requested. God granted his wish. God wants us to experience his will. And you think about it, if we are able to have the discernment, the wisdom, to pray in God's will, there's nothing that we pray for that God would not answer. Because He wants His will for our lives. Now, there are going to be some times where we may not pray in His will, but that is where desire and passion comes in. Because I could tell you personally, there'll be times where I've prayed certain prayers, oh God, please, please, answer this prayer. I want you to open this particular door. But God knows in my heart of hearts, as much as I wanted God to open that door, there was a greater and a deeper desire that I had that superseded the one for God to open that door. And it was this, that He would open the doors in accordance with His will. And so as much as I would have prayed, God opened that particular door, God knew in my heart of hearts that if that door was not His will, then God, please close it. And that is why the issue of desire and a passion for God's will must be at the foundation of experiencing and living in His will. I trust that every single believer here tonight has a passion, has a strong desire, a zeal that says, God, I have enough confidence in you. I have enough faith. I've seen your character, and I know that what you have is best for me. And that is what I want. At the heart of my very heart, I want your will for my life. I have a passion for it. And like Jabez, if we have a passion for his will, oh, that God would bless me indeed and go with me and be with me and keep me from evil, enlarge my coast, that God himself would answer such a prayer. May God help us as we seek to be in his will, that we would crave it, long for it. And that's one of the easiest prayer requests for God to answer, that we would desire his will, that he will give it to us and help us, in spite of our limitations and our faults, that he would navigate and work things out so that we can have his will in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word.